We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We got to consider that.
It's embarrassing, but we are who we are. We're not a very good team, but we're 3-1 somehow. And we got all the voters fooled, thinking we're pretty good.
Jaworski Lane at 275 pounds showed a heck of a lot of athletic ability.
All right, let's talk some college football. John, we got another big week ahead of us here. I would love to open this by talking about the Wisconsin Badgers. I just, at this point, just really can't anymore with this team. But luckily, you know, I've adopted your Georgia Bulldogs as my secondary team solely because of you. And that team is really good. The Georgia Bulldogs, I'll say it, they're the best team in the country.
They are. It feels good. After years and years and years of, you know, not being that and you know, getting crushed by Alabama and all these key spots, they're not even gonna have to worry about Alabama anymore. Things are going well in the great state of Georgia, in the Peach State. As far as their flagship program is concerned, they're going up to Kentucky this weekend to play a team that just lost to Vanderbilt, the first SEC team to face Vanderbilt and lose in 26 games. So Lord, it's been a minute since Vandy got in the win column in conference play, and Kentucky, who I think a lot of people thought were the dark horse team in the East this year, fallen way short of expectations. I've actually been pretty shocked by how things have gone for Kentucky so far this year. But you know, I think the way the playoff picture is setting up, you know, I think TCU kind of had one of its bigger final appearances this past weekend, and going to Austin, beating Texas, covering that one easily. Of course, they went in there as underdogs. TCU looks like that they pretty much have it all out in front of them, which of course makes you nervous that they are going to screw it up, because Sonny Dykes has traditionally struggled late in the season. They got a game against Baylor this weekend. You know, Baylor has basically lost everything it had to play for. So they're kind of like that proverbial, like, dangerous, you know, dog in this fight. Yeah, exactly. It's been caged up, ready to unleash potentially. So Frogs need to be careful there. And then of course, 2 weekends from now, we get the game. I think, you know, some people are putting out pretty reasonable takes as to why, regardless of who wins that game, they should both deserve a spot in the playoff. We'll have to see what happens. I think TCU kind of holds a key on that one. I think USC holds a key on that one. And, you know, if Tennessee continues to look impressive, then I think that they will have a case as well. But excited for the game, of course. We'll get into that one more fully next week. And yes, to your point on Wisconsin, I watched them for, you know, about three quarters against Iowa. And it was funny because, you know, I'm in Madison at well, I'm trying to lighten it up, but basically the way that the morning slate plays out where Illinois loses, all the chatter, of course, is Wisconsin holds their own destiny. And
you're telling me. The group chats were on fire for a little bit there.
100%. Then Mertz throws that pick six to DeJean, and that goes out the window. But my counterpoint, my spin zone to you is, did you want to control your own destiny? I think that whoever comes out of the West this year is going, it's not going to be pretty what happens in Indianapolis. So you just spare, it's been a bad season to like top it off by getting embarrassed by a second time against Ohio State or getting pushed around by Michigan. Let someone else do that.
Exactly. We already played Ohio State. I don't want to see Graham, baby Nathan Peterman, Mertz have to go up against that defense again. Yeah, you're right. In some ways, it was kind of a relief to just know that it's officially over. It's officially over. It's the same relief that I get every year when the Jags are officially eliminated from playoff contention. Like, I'm no longer running the numbers. I'm no longer looking at like, well, if this team loses, maybe it's a sense of relief that washes over you.
Yep. I believe it, man. So, I mean, just rinse this year off. We'll get back to it next year. You still can have Braylon Allen back. Things will be better next year. You get Jim Leonard, hopefully, you know, with like a full off season and everything. The Badgers aren't a program that stays down long, but definitely an underwhelming season to say the least in Madison. But looking ahead to this week, this is traditionally the week that the SEC just kind of takes off and vacations against FCS teams for the most part, so that there aren't like a ton of juicy matchups in the SEC. But of those games, I do like Vanderbilt to cover 14.5 at home against Florida. I think Florida is frankly not all that good, and I think that Vanderbilt can hang by slightly, right around 2 touchdowns. So give me that. I feel terrible about handing out Maryland losers every week, but I'm going back to the well. I think they cover 4 touchdowns against Ohio State. I like UTSA minus 13.5 at Rice. UTSA easily, I think, the best team in Conference USA, really. Had some, speaking of Conference USA, had a little bit of intrigue on Western Kentucky plus 6.5 at Auburn, but I think Auburn, with our guy Cadillac Williams.
Yeah, you're not betting against Cadillac.
No, I simply cannot. Like, no matter how cutesy I like to get with some of my college football crap, I couldn't go that far. Not against Cadillac. I like UCLA to cover 2.5 against USC, and I would consider a sprinkle on the money line for that one. Rose Bowl is going to be sold out for that one. And I think the defenses are bad enough in Michigan State versus Indiana to where I think we go over 46 points in that game.
Okay. I love it. I love it all, John. I saw you had a note on Harold Perkins, who, my goodness, what are we looking at here?
I mean, so I said this I go on a radio show in Ruston, Louisiana every Tuesday. We started the segment yesterday talking about Harold Perkins, and I basically broke it down like this. What we're seeing from Harold Perkins is the linebacker equivalent of what Derek Stingley did as a true freshman at LSU, where it's like, it basically doesn't matter how these next 2 years go. What he's done this year is enough to where a team will take him in the first round.
Yeah. I get there's never really been that discussion in college football like there has in basketball of like, let these guys come straight out of high school, one and done, all that. Like, you're in the weeds on this more than I am. Like, are there people behind the scenes saying like, this dude is this good right now, he should be able to capitalize that and go make real money in the NFL? Or is the debate still, you got to develop physically, all that? Like, where do people stand on that? Because watching Harold Perkins this past weekend, I'm like, this guy would start for some NFL teams.
No, he totally would. I don't think that the discourse is quite to the point of like a one and done in college football, but guys like Perkins are just so rare, essentially, to where like that's not going to really be the point. I guess, the monetary thing, being able to capitalize at an NFL level as opposed to, getting a cool like mayonnaise sponsorship or whatever. That there's something to be said for that. But, I'd be surprised if like Harold Perkins did the double opt out. Like Ja'Marr Chase, it made sense a couple of years ago. Like, don't mess with the COVID year. Like, just go ahead and, you stamped your ticket already after 2 years. But And Micah Parsons kind of did something similar as well, but we're not quite there yet. But you know, Perkins is making us have this discussion, so there's something to be said for that.
All right, before we head out, Heisman odds: C.J. Stroud, the favorite. I know you're holding a Hendon Hooker ticket. He's at 3-1. Blake Corum in the mix. Bo Nix in the mix. This has been a very strange Heisman race, and I can't help but get the feeling that C.J. Stroud is going to kind of just back his way into this, and nobody's gonna feel great about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that really is playing for a team that is a slam dunk to make the playoff at this point. Like, yep. Hooker's going to need some stuff that's out of his control to make it happen. And, you know, Blake Corum is certainly, you know, kind of like sitting in that mix as well. And then interestingly, Drake May has entered the chat. I think some people have said that he's just straight up the best quarterback in college football as far as pro prospects are concerned, and sneakily, you know, UNC is 9-1 with their one loss coming against a Notre Dame team that has definitely woken up here in the second half of the season. So if he beats Clemson in the ACC championship game and looks great doing it, we could have ourselves a pretty interesting end to this race, but it has been weird to this point, and no one has really like truly seized it just yet, which, you know, keeps it somewhat interesting. And I would be incredibly bummed if CJ Stroud just kind of gets it because his team was a little bit better than Tennessee.
It does feel like it's heading that way, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully Michigan could put up a fight like last year, and that would certainly change things. I feel like we've just been waiting for that trip up from CJ Stroud. Like, all the other main contenders have kind of had that, and he hasn't really had to weather that quite yet. But looking forward to college football again this weekend. Of course, looking forward to week 11 in the NFL. We will check in on all of our bets around this time next week. John, great time chatting with you as always, man.
Likewise, sir.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.